Father, right now, we need you desperately. I know we need you all the time. I know that we need you every day, every moment of the day. But there are intensified situations that are manifesting and are happening that causes us to have to intensify in our prayers, intensify in being violent spiritually to begin to press into the kingdom of heaven. You said that the violent take it by force. So, Father, we violently ask you and desire from you to know what your agenda is. What are you doing so that we can stay in line, step in step with you, with the glory of the manifestation of what you're desiring to do here on the earth? Father, we know that you're rattling. We know that you're shaking the earth and allowing those things that can be shaken to be shaken off of us so that we can only to and find ourselves walking in and being obedient to those righteous things that you are mandating in this day, in this time, in this hour. Oh, how we desire to be submitted to you. Father, we thank you for forgiving us of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank you for giving us the strength, your ability to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. We glorify you, knowing that your word and that the anointing that's within your word helps to shield us from all of the fiery darts of the enemy. So, Father, we desperately need a word from you, but not just a word. We desire a conversation. We desire a dialogue. We desire to hear and to know and understand your heart, your mind, your perfect will in these distressful, perilous times that we find ourselves in. We submit to you. We allow you to do what you desire. We refuse to look to the left or to the right or to look at ourselves for the answers. We desire to hear your word audibly and scripturally so that we will understand it, so that we will know, so that we can be at peace, knowing that regardless of what's going on around us, we know, like you say in Psalms 91, that only with our eyes will we see the calamity of our enemies or of the wicked, because we're covered by you. We're covered by the rock. We're covered by Yahushua. We thank you for that. We glorify you. And we are spiritually impregnated and to see what you are going to deliver this day in Yahushua's name. Amen. Well, Pastor Andre, I will pass it back to you at this time.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi, and thank you for that prayer. At this time, we're going to go ahead and start with our Before Torah Study Blessing, which is a scriptural way of giving God thanks and blessing him for all that he has for us, especially his word.
Baruch atah Yehuah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. We're going to go ahead and start with our recap this morning. And if you recall from last week, we began discussing how when catastrophic events happen around our world, as Rabbi was even mentioning just a few moments ago when in the prayer, when the earth is shaken, both in the natural and spiritual, politically, economically, all of these, it is all the more the time and the call for us to really take some time, do introspection and focus on our micro. And you, as you remember, especially as we started this whole show many months ago, you can go back in the archives and look, but we talked about the micro, the meso, and the macro. Micro being the very personal applications in our lives. The meso, dealing with more of our family, extended family kind of community. And the macro is dealing with the things happening in the world. But when we see things in the world, it's time for us, well, like this, the catastrophic events, it's time for us to focus on getting ourselves in order at the micro level. Now, we started off reading Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, and we opened up conversation on the Philadelphia congregation. The Philadelphia congregation, of course, is the one church mentioned in Revelation, which was given an open door that no man could shut. And the Philadelphia church qualified themselves as brides to be caught up while the world was being tested. Now, Yeshua always lets his disciples know. We see this throughout within Matthew 24 and throughout the other scriptures. Even in the continuing work of the disciples and the apostles, they were always trying to alert and give the disciples, the followers of Yeshua, an understanding of what was to come. Yeshua did this in Matthew 24, as I mentioned. And he always was letting us know through scripture, through his word, to hold on and be unmovable, to be continued into what we call the patience, the works of the Lord and the patience that we are called to. One thing that we can see now is that the world is going through this whole reaction to the coronavirus, the vaccines and the different things, the mutations. Coronavirus is not the wrath of God. We mentioned this last week. And we see that this is the enemy's work. I'm going to say that one more time. This is not the wrath of God. Okay? There are things that are being allowed to happen, to shake. But this is the enemy's playbook. This is him fulfilling his playbook to preempt and cause chaos and confusion before the day of the Lord. Now, we also looked into 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. And we need to understand that Peter was talking about the new heavens and the new earth in this scripture. The timeline of this was after the greater tribulation in the millennial period. But especially, Peter was wanting to make sure that we are totally focused. We need to make sure that we're totally focused in the Lord. When the world is disrupted, it should never disrupt us. Again, Yeshua made sure his disciples were prepared for what was to come so that their faith would not fail. But if you remember, this section of scripture in 2 Peter was, Peter was saying he doesn't want anyone to be ignorant. Okay? The moment we fall to ignorance is when the moment the adversary engages. They don't attack unless they sense a weakness or vulnerability or, as it's said in Luke, an opportune time. Okay? After Yeshua was in the wilderness, we've covered this before, after he had fasted and prayed and he withstood, it says that the devil left basically because he was seeking a more opportune time, another time which was more advantageous for him to make his attack. Going back to the first point here, we need to make sure that our micro is in order so that there's no room for the enemy to make their attacks. We covered Revelation chapter 12, verses 17, all the way to chapter 13, verse 18. Okay? And one of the things that we pointed out in this section was that faith comes into question when a situation unfolds that we're not prepared for. So when we start having situations and we're unprepared for them, that's when our faith has to be strengthened. For those of you who are familiar with the armor of God, and Rabbi, you've been teaching about this recently, we have to make sure that our shield, our faith is increased on a continual basis. We must make sure that the spiritual understanding of situations is our default, focusing on our eternal security and our faith in the Father through Yeshua. The Father is getting ready to do things that are part of the plan from the beginning, and we're coming closer to those things. We need to be ready and have our steps ordered by his word. We need to be prepared for our bridegroom. Now, these are just snippets of many of the things that we've discussed. But again, the main points here, and we're going to go back here, Peter starts off, do not be ignorant. Okay? The day of the Lord, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And so we have this admonition not to be ignorant, but to be vigilant, to be shrewd, to be understanding, as we talk about in this broadcast all the time, to understand the signs of the times and how we must respond. So we're going to continue. We're going to pick up where we left off. Rabbi, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you so we can continue with our discussion today.
Amen. Amen. And just real quick, because I want everybody to understand that we need to know, and the Father wants and desires us, Yeshua, our spiritual husband, wants and desires for us to be aware and to know the signs of the time. Primarily, not so that we can share the signs of the time with others, as much as so that we can be comforted. It's a matter of us not being in a state of worry and anxiety and confusion. These all are not the will or the purpose of the Father, nor the Son, pertaining to his bride. We need to understand that. We need to get a grasp of that. We need to not allow our faith to be shaken. We need to strengthen and build up our shield of faith. As Pastor Andre has alluded to in other broadcasts, different events, I've been talking about the full armor of Yah, the full armor of God, and one of those was the shield of faith. And the way it is supposed to work and the way that we're supposed to operate within it to work it. So that's not for this particular broadcast, but it's imperative that we and that you understand that that shield of faith is what shields us. No pun intended there, but we need to make sure that as the world begins to shake, that we understand that we are to stand firm. I'll say that again. As the things and the situations and the circumstances all around us begin to affect other individuals, their faith, their desire, and their situation, we are at that point, opposed to the way that they're responding, we are to stand firm. I was just made aware of a situation, not that it was surprising to me because it wasn't, but the fact that it was so close to home, if you will. But there was a situation with one of the members that come to our congregation. Their child, an adult at this point, has a job that required her, if she wanted to keep her employment, for her to have to take the vaccine, which she complied with. Now, I know there's different viewpoints back and forth and all that, about the nanobots and dead fetus, and just other different things that are ingredients, if you will, in the vaccine. And you, of course, all of you that are questioning these types of situations can literally go on the CDC website. And in the website, conflicting stories within the website, but one that's very alarming, that really allows us to wake up and to realize, hey, we are in perilous times. And that is that they say that the nanobots within this vaccine serum is necessary because it literally will go into your RNA, into your gene, and have the ability to shut it off, to alter it, to control it. Now, I'm not going to go that much into this because, you know, I'm not a scientist, nor am I a doctor, and nor are we privy to the actual ingredients. But CDC has this on their website. and they have that information on their website. And it's something that I definitely believe that everyone needs to take a very good sober look at and really reflect. In other words, get before Yah and say, what are you doing? And what are you allowing? And why? And what should I do going forward? 2021 will undoubtedly be the cornerstone by which the adversary is using this year to fast forward his agenda and to truly try to outstep and outwit not God, but the children of God, the bride of God. So we need to be spiritually prepared. We need to, as the builder that's building the house, we need to count the cost. For some of us, we may not have enough to fulfill every aspect of what we're desiring. And so we need to really begin to build up holy faith, as Jude said. Because that's what it's going to take. Build up that shield of faith, if you will. Now, Pastor Andre, what I want to have us begin to focus on is with the situations and the impact indicators that are giving us some noteworthy signs as to where we are, because this show is about these be perilous times. And I want to focus more on the time in which we're in, because 2021 is going to be so catastrophic in that aspect, ushering in certain aspects of the times and the seasons of our adversary. This is going to be a year that he is going to try to fast forward his agenda on all fronts. And we need to be spiritually aware, spiritually prepared, and mentally, physically, and emotionally. This is not a time or place where you need to act all scatterbrain or basically allowing yourself to be tossed to and fro with all of the news that you allow in you, not just fake news, but any news. Because the Father is still on the throne. He's still in charge, and his agenda will be sought through, and it will be performed. So with that being said, we're going to take a look at Revelation chapter 18. Verses 1 through about 8. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And for those of you that are familiar with that particular passage, it talks about Mystery Babylon, and it talks about the fall of Mystery Babylon. I believe, and I pray that I'm wrong, I would love to be wrong about this, but I believe that this year we will be on the cusp of this particular fall. Individuals will begin to say, peace, peace. And it will be a false peace. But we need to look at the scriptures and kind of see where we are to see why I would even surmise this kind of concept. So, with that being said, Pastor Andre, if you could read that both in the King James and in the Amplified, so that we kind of get a feel for where we potentially could be here.
Okay. My pleasure. Thank you, sir. Starting with King James, this is Revelation chapter 18, starting with verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Verse 6, Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and grief, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now for the Amplified, again starting with verse 1, and we'll be reading all the way to verse 8 again. Then I saw another angel descending from heaven, possessing great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his radiance and splendor. And he shouted with a mighty voice, She is fallen! Mighty Babylon is fallen! She has become a resort and dwelling place for demons, a dungeon haunted by every loathsome spirit, and an abode for every filthy and detestable bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of her passionate unchastity, and the rulers and leaders of the earth have joined with her in committing fornication, idolatry, and the businessmen of the earth have become rich with the wealth of her excessive luxury and wantonness. I then heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues. For her iniquities, her crimes, transgressions are piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her wickedness and her crimes and calls them up for settlement. Repay to her what she herself has paid to others, and double her doom in accordance with what she has done. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed for others. To the degree that she glorified herself and reveled in her wantonness, living deliciously and luxuriously, to that measure impose on her torment and anguish in tears and mourning. Since in her heart she boasts, I am not a widow. As a queen on a throne I sit. I shall never see suffering or experience sorrow. So shall her plagues, afflictions, calamities come thick upon her in a single day. Pestilence and anguish and sorrow and famine. And she shall be utterly consumed, burned up with fire. For mighty is the Lord God who judges her.
The Apostle John was taken to a place that he was unfamiliar with. And he was taken to this place by the angel that was hosting him, the elder that was hosting him. And in this particular situation, this was one of the angels that had the trumpets, that was the last trumpets, and was asking him if he wanted to see Mystery Babylon. Now, understand this. The apostle is very much aware, well, he was very much aware, where Babylon was and the significance of the actual original Babylon. But this was unfamiliar land and unfamiliar situations that were manifesting. If you look today, because this was talking about the last days, this is talking about, of course, the time of the Great Tribulation. and the latter part of the Great Tribulation. So if you try to surmise what country would best be depicted as Mystery Babylon, what country has the greatest materialistic aspect of their country? Now, I'm not talking futuristic, because when you think futuristic, you automatically think, well, China would be this individual. But their infrastructure has not been totally developed in such a way to where they can do that right now. I mean, they're at the cusp of, yes, but this depicts the United States so much more than it does China. The United States has gotten many other nations and very wealthy, very the merchants, the trade, and just all that we offer. There, in the book Revelations, let me digress just a bit here. There are only two women that are mentioned, and they're both symbolistic. The first one, of course, is in Revelations chapter 12, and we talked about that before. And it gives an excellent depiction of Israel based upon the 12 stars and those types of things, being the 12 tribes. Then there's this particular woman, the Scarlet Woman. And it's important to know that in the very beginning of what was shared by Pastor Andre, the first couple of verses, it says, after these things, which is the term metatouta, M-E-T-A, one word, and the second word is T-A-U-T-A, metatouta. It's Greek. And it has two distinct meanings. It could mean like what is written here, after, meaning second to an event. Or it could mean in conjunction with, as a overarching, though they've written it as after these things. I have very strong indications from other passages of Scripture, as well as the timeline and things of this nature, that it really should mean in conjunction with these things. So what you've got is you've got a situation whereas what was happening in chapter 17, you also have in chapter 18 a corresponding thing that begins to happen. So we're going to pick up at chapter 17 and read all of chapter 17 just to keep things in perspective as we begin to go into this Mystery Babylon understanding. Pastor Andre, if you would start with the very first verse of chapter 17 of Revelation and read that, both in the King James and in the Amplified, and then we'll expound on that.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, starting with King James, verse 1 of chapter 17 in the book of Revelation. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is. The other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, which shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now for Amplified, again, if you're following along, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 17, starting with verse 1 and read to the end. This is the Amplified. Verse 1. One of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls then came and spoke to me, saying, Come with me, I will show you the doom, sentence, judgment of the great harlot, idolatress, who is seated on many waters. She with whom the rulers of the earth have joined in prostitution, idolatry, and with the wine of whose immorality, idolatry, the inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated. And the angel bore me away, wrapped in the spirit, into a desert wilderness. And I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast that was all covered with blasphemous titles, names, and he had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was robed in purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, and she was holding in her hand a golden cup full of the accursed offenses and of the filth of her lewdness and vice. Verse 5. And on her forehead there was inscribed a name of mystery with a secret symbolic meaning, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the filth and atrocities and abominations of the earth. I also saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, God's people, and the blood of the martyrs who witnessed for Jesus. And when I saw her, I was utterly amazed and wondered greatly. But the angel said to me, Why do you wonder? I will explain to you the secret meaning of the mystery of the woman, as well as the beast of the beast having the 7 heads and the 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was, but now is no more. And he is going to come up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and proceed to go to perdition. And the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they look at the beast, because he once was, but now is no more, and he is yet to come. This calls for a mind to consider that is packed with wisdom and intelligence, It is something for a particular mode of thinking and judging of thoughts, feelings, and purposes. The seven heads are seven hills upon which the woman is sitting. And they are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One still exists and is reigning. The other, the seventh, has not yet appeared. And when he does arrive, he must stay but a brief time. And as for the beast that once was, but now is no more, he himself is an eighth ruler, king, or head, but he is of the seven and belongs to them, but he goes to perdition. Also, verse 12, also the ten horns which you observed are ten rulers, kings, who have as yet received no royal dominion, but together they are to receive power and authority as rulers for a single hour along with the beast. These have one common policy, opinion, and purpose, and they deliver their power to the authority of the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph over them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him and on his side are chosen, called, elected, and loyal and faithful followers. And the angel further said to me, the waters that you observed, where the harlot is seated, are races and multitudes and nations and dialects, languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will be the very ones to hate the harlot, the idolatrous woman. They will make her cheerless, bereaved, desolate, and they will strip her and eat up her flesh and utterly consume her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to carry out his own purpose by acting in harmony and surrendering their royal power and authority to the beast, and tell the prophetic words, intentions, and promises of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is herself the great city, which dominates and controls rulers and the leaders of the earth. Rabbi.
So that great city that controls rulers and leaders of the earth is America. America is already under siege from a political, economical concept right now, to the place and to the point to where it's very possible that we could either have three parties for electing our highest elected official, or drastically damage the parties that we have in such a way to where it alters their whole concept in which they were founded. Now, with that being said, it says that this particular scarlet woman, which was also Mr. Babylon, which was also, that great city, that this particular woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. Now we keep in mind, we already went through scripture pertaining to the definition of saints as well as the patience of the saints. And you can go back to other archives of this particular teaching and acquire those and study those. Be looking for Revelations chapter 14, verse 12. As well as Revelations chapter 13, verse 10, pertaining to the patience of the saints. Also keep in mind that Daniel saw our day, and Daniel knew, based upon the revelation that he received, he knew that the Antichrist would be given power over the saints, and that he would conquer the saints, primarily because of the changing of the biblical calendar and us not submitting to the Torah, of course, but also not submitting to the feast of the Lord. Now, with all of this being said, where does that put us as far as 2021? We're going to go to a passage of scripture that's going to give us a little bit more insight to this wilderness place that the angel, one of the angels that had the vial, took the Apostle John 2. It correlates with Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. They correlate. We're looking at something that gives a little bit more insight, if you will. Because in Revelation chapter 18, closer to the bottom of that particular passage, we're warned to come out of her before the wrath of God is poured out upon that great city. So when we begin to connect these, Pastor Andre, what begins to happen is we begin to get a clearer picture of where we could actually be as far as the rapture is concerned, as far as these be perilous times and what the Father has promised us before the wrath happens. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. And you'll probably see the correlation. Okay? Go ahead.
And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. That was King James. And I'll continue with Amplified, starting with verse 34. I will bring you out from the peoples where, and will gather you from the countries in which you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you and contend with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with our fathers, with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment and contend with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, as the shepherd does with his sheep when he counts them, and I will count you as mine and constrain you and bring you into the bond of the covenant to which you are permanently bound. And I will separate from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out to the land where they temporarily live, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know, without any doubt, that I am the Lord.
Amen. Now, how does this correlate? This has not happened yet. This prophetic prophecy by Ezekiel, or by God through Ezekiel, has not happened yet. But it's an exodus. This is what is considered prophetically the last exodus. Now, the first exodus was out of Egypt, and Egypt had a pharaoh. Pharaoh, of course, is the highest leader in the land. We are in a situation right now where we are about to change pharaohs, if you will. And if that be the case, it's very possible that like this new pharaoh that didn't know Joseph and didn't know all the awesome manifestations of God's power through Joseph and through saving the world through Joseph, began to harm and to hurt God's chosen people. In that same manner as the first Exodus, you should be looking for and seeing the signs of the times of this last Exodus. And the last Exodus being a harmful situation happening, especially to God's chosen people. It's imperative that we begin to understand that and to get that and to realize that, to realize where we are in that, so that we can prepare our hearts and our minds, going back to what we talked about as far as the micro is concerned. Now, when we jump back over to Revelation chapter 18, it says that these 10 kings received power in the hour, in that 1 hour. That 1 hour connects with, and we've talked about this before, but it connects with the hour of temptation. It connects with the great tribulation period. But we have a promise, Pastor Andre, that we've talked about already in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 13, especially at verse 10. We have a promise as brides that if we are walking circumspectly, and if we have our connection and our relationship tightly fixed with Yeshua, with Jesus, that we have a promise that during that particular hour of transition of power, we will not be here on the earth. Now, if you can read that Revelation chapter 3, because we have an open door. That we're talking about the Philadelphia church. We discussed it before, but we want to keep it in context and let it flow. So if you could do that for us. I think starting in verse 7, I believe is where you did. But let's focus and pay attention and listen to what he says about verse 10.
Okay. Starting here with verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set up before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Continue.
Yes, and could you do it also in the... You just went to verse...
That was verse 10.
Verse 10. Yeah, you can stop at verse 10. And then just do it also in the Amplified.
All right, here we go. For the Amplified, starting with verse 7. And to the angel, divine messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key to the house of David. He who opens and no one will be able to shut, and he who shuts and no one opens. I know your deeds. I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. For you have a little power and have kept my word and have not renounced or denied my name. Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know without any doubt that I have loved you. Verse 10, because you have kept the word of my endurance, my command to persevere, I will keep you safe from the hour of trial, that hour which is about to come upon the whole inhabited world, to test those who live on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold tight. Oops, excuse me, I got carried away. That was verse 11. He says he's coming quickly.
Yes, hallelujah. I receive that.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, this shows in this timeline how quickly he's coming. We need to stay in a mindset and an attitude of repentance daily, moment by moment, not thinking that we've arrived or that we are fulfilling or the ones that he has chosen to fulfill his perfect will, but understand that if not by grace, everyone would fall. Everyone would fall short of the glory. This particular hour has not come yet because, as you see, the Philadelphia Church or the Bride of Yahshua would not be here on the earth at that time. Now, Revelation 18, chapter 18, comes into play, and that's my my dog in the background there, comes into play with Isaiah. And we've went through this timeline before, but we need to go through it again so that we can kind of keep in remembrance of the flow of how things are here. Isaiah 26, chapter 26, and we're going to start off with verse 19, and we're going to go all the way to chapter 27 and verse 3. The three events that I want to make sure that everyone sees before Pastor Andre reads this is, first of all, the death, burial, resurrection of Yeshua. That was prophesied. That's event one. And event two is the rapture. Event three is the ending tribulation and dealing with Leviathan, Satan, and all of those that were his followers. So as he begins to read, look for those three events in the passage.
Okay. Starting with verse 19. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. The dead, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now this is chapter 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, sing ye unto her, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt. I will keep it night and day. Now for the Amplified. Oops, one moment, please. Here we go. Verse 19 of Isaiah chapter 26. Your dead shall live, O Lord. The bodies of our dead saints shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew, O Lord, is a dew of sparkling light, heavenly supernatural dew. And the earth shall cast forth the dead to life again. For on the land of the shades of the dead you will let your dew fall. Verse 20, come, my people, into your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's wrath is past. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, heaven, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also will disclose the blood shed upon her and will no longer cover her slain and conceal her guilt. Chapter 27, verse 1, in that day, the Lord will deliver Israel from her enemies and also from the rebel powers of evil and darkness. His sharp and unrelenting, great, strong sword will visit and punish Leviathan, the swiftly fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the twisting and winding serpent, he will slay the monster that is in the sea. In that day it will be said of the redeemed nation of Israel, a vineyard, beloved and lovely. Sing a responsive song to it and about it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone harm it. I guard and keep it night and day. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah. So, prayerfully, you were able to see those three events in that reading of the passages that were read there. One, and only one of those events have already passed, has already come to pass, and that is Yeshua's death, burial, resurrection, along with the saints being rose from the dead, from the graves. And, of course, that's verified in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through about 53. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to about 53. But where are we? What's happening with us now? We're seeing once the manifestation of this new Pharaoh starts, then the timeline starts. Then you'll start to begin to see even more oppressive and demanding aspects of the COVID-19 vaccine. You'll start to see Revelation chapter 13 begin to come more clearly into play. You'll begin to hear the false peace. But within that false peace is a manipulative, divisive plan of the enemy. My prayer to you is that because you're here on the earth, because you're here at this particular time, this juncture, that you, along with us, begin to press in, violently press into Yah to find out what his desire is for us individually, corporately as well, but individually, so that we can be in spiritual as well as the best physical shape that we can be in during these particular times. He even says in this particular passage that he will cover his saints, that he will protect them. But we have to desire to maintain ourselves within that protection. We have to understand what that means and how to apply it, and then apply it in our lives. It's our responsibility to do that. He has done and is going to do what he has promised and said that he would do. But now it's up to us. It's up to our micro. It's up to our focusing, purging and cleansing and building up our most holy faith, wearing our armor properly the way we are called to wear it, so that he can use us in these last days to begin to touch, heal, set free, deliver, and sanctify individuals with the truth so that they too can join the army of God. The army of God is not like the army of man, nor do we fall prey to man's tactics, but we fall prey to God's tactics and his orders that he gives us. So therefore, we must begin to press into hearing, adhering to, and fulfilling all that he desires. This is the type of revival that he's looking for. This is what he's calling for and calling us for and calling us forth. He said, come out from among them, not just physically, but spiritually. Emotionally, come out from being attached to and being dependent upon them. This is what he's looking for in our day, in our time, in our season. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you to get the last remarks and, of course, to close the rest of this particular podcast. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I hope that you guys have been, those of you who are listening, just have been listening to the key elements that we've been discussing. And as we started off, Rabbi, I thank you so much for this one thing you added in the beginning. It was all of these things are being shared to comfort. We're knowing the Lord is sharing these things beforehand so that we can be comforted, so that the return of the Lord is not something we should be afraid of, but that we are comforted knowing that those of us who remain will be caught up to meet him. And as we mentioned here in Isaiah, that there is a plan to hide Yah's people during this time, the bride of Messiah, to hide the bride when these difficult things happen, when the whole world is shaken. And again, we said this in Revelation chapter 3 with the hiding of the Philadelphia church. So we have these things to look forward to. And Rabbi, that's one thing that actually has changed my paradigm, because there are moments when you forget all the little components that come together. When you see the bigger picture, we're saying the Father has already purposed in his heart to protect us, just like he did with the last Exodus, with the children of Israel, for those who followed through the guidelines and placed the blood over their doorposts. They were protected. And he protects his people from the wrath, which is not intended for the bride. And again, that's Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, and also chapter 1, verse 10. So today, one of the key points is that we need to be aware and be awakened, as the call said, to come out of my people, the Babylon aspect. This is making sure our micro, that there's nothing in us that is connected with the world, which will be shaken. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it depends on what we're connected to, whether or not will be shaken as well. So, Rabbi, I just wanted to thank you for the words today and giving us perspective. I want to thank everyone again for listening today. And if this is your first time, we are a ministry based in Durham, North Carolina, Beth Hashem Congregation. Again, for those of you who have been following the whole series, we encourage you to go back and look at these things which we have discussed, look at the scriptures, study these things and see if they are true, like the Bereans did. They were spoken highly of because when they heard the word, they went back to search the scriptures. And one thing I'm realizing, Rabbi, as we go through, our Father is most delighted by diligent and hardworking saints, individuals. He gets pleasure by watching us be diligent. And it reminds me of the scripture. I'm sorry I'm getting carried away here, but I just want to share this with the listeners, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we have to understand that he is a rewarder of those who, again, here's the word, diligently seek him. So we have to make sure that we are being diligent in what we do. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. You can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org. And again, that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find out more about us on our Facebook page if you like to connect socially. We post a few things there, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. That's all one word, Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App, and that's www.cash.app/$BethHashem. Again, all one word, lowercase. You can email us again if you'd like to make a contribution, but more specifically, mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And we again thank those who have been partnering and sharing and donating and blessing this ministry. So we want to thank you, even for those who are praying and standing with us. We thank you at this time. Now, we're going to go ahead and close this section of our show with the After Torah blessing. And this is a time where we, again, refocus our attention towards Yah, turn our hearts back to him, giving thanks and blessing him. And so at this time, we have our After Torah study blessing. And we'll follow that with the Aaronic benediction to close and then have Rabbi close us out with prayer. So now for the After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet. Bahaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. At this time, I'll recite the Aaronic benediction. And this is a wonderful time for you to embrace and to receive this blessing for yourselves and for your family by just simply saying, actually, the Hebrew word, Amen, which means so let it be. So as I recite this, when we're all done, we can all, in our own places, say Amen together.
Yivarechecha Yehuah Beishmerecha Yair Yahua Panavelecha Vichunecha Yisa Yahua Panavelecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for this call. We thank you for this purpose. We thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your fulfillment within us and with all of us. We aspire and desire to be all that you've called for us to be on this earth at this time in history. Let your story be made known and manifest in us so that all who ask and all who ponder and wonder will see a glimpse of you through us, begin to understand the manifestation of your power and your love and your devotion through us. Let it all intermingled with our faith bring the desired end that you desire in our time. It is our prayer. In Yahushua's name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.